Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation here on FUBAR Radio. We are going out live as we do every Tuesday. Obviously, you might be listening on podcast, but I do implore you to listen live. You miss the glorious gems, which are local and independent radio adverts. There's nothing like them. We were just listening to some missold holiday home adverts, a la PPI, with the call to action, text justice. Yes, that's the sort of severity that we're dealing with here on FUBAR Radio. So do tune in live if you're able to. But if not, welcome podcast listeners. We've got a fantastic show today. I've got the brilliant Kate Checker in the studio with me. She'll be my co-host today. And joining us later, the wonderful Joseph Parsons. It's a lovely studio full of lovely people. We're going to have a great time, despite the news. Yes, indeed, this is, by some accounts, a topical show, and we must face what is happening in the news. I try to avoid it every week, and then Monday rolls around, and I think, fuck, I've got to write something for my radio show. So here's what I've managed to muster this week, starting with Keir Starmer's very recent controversial sweeping immigration plans, which has been likened to Enoch Powell's language. However, he's been defended by Yvette Cooper. Yvette Cooper has defended Keir Starmer this morning against claims that he was echoing Enoch Powell's infamous Rivers of Blood speech. Just for reference, Starmer said Brits will be made strangers in their own country due to immigration, whilst Powell said that the UK was at risk of becoming an island of strangers due to immigration. The other way around. My apologies for mixing up those, to quote dear Yvette, completely different statements. Starmer's problem is clearly just an ineffectual centrism that appeases no one. Who but Yvette Cooper will defend Keir Starmer, right? Because the left think he's just spouting horrible racist rhetoric, and the right also think that, but they just agree with him. Like, the only people I've seen defending Starmer have just been saying, yeah, but Enoch Powell was right. We're just in this horrible, I just think we've got this Labour government, they've got power, absolute power, such an impressive majority. For 4 years, they can enact any change they want. Why are they pandering now? Why are they... See, the problem with someone like, you know, an invertebrate like Keir Starmer is their sort of gooey, spineless form will just sort of shape to whatever pressure is put on them. And I just... It's all very depressing. And I just think, you know, we've got a chance here. 4 years of power to change people's lives. The dip in approval ratings will be forgotten if there's real change in people's lives. But no, they just insist on culture wars still. They won't make any sort of real change. Maybe not as funny as I normally lead the show, but it's just fucking annoyed me this week. It's been really just nothing positive going on whatsoever. Although I suppose in the intervening week since last Tuesday, there has been an escalation and a de-escalation in the Kashmir. I guess the de-escalation is positive news, the ceasefire. But at the same time, this week's news includes the escalation. So I don't know. I suppose we're net neutral on that. Meanwhile, just recently this week, the Israeli government have denied the UN-backed assessment that Gaza's entire population is at risk of famine. A spokesman said, "It's all okay. Don't come over here. It's fine. No international press, please. Gaza is so okay that it will be literally boring to report on. Please, I'm doing you a favour by blocking you access." The whole charade of pretending that nothing bad is happening in Palestine but the Israeli government is just... It reminds me of that scene in Toy Story. Yes, I'm using Pixar to talk about an international genocide here. The scene in Toy Story where Woody is like waving Buzz's severed arm at the other toys to be like, "No, I'm okay, guys, we're all over here." It's such a farce. It's so horrible. And I also promised last week to keep you up to date with what's happening with the Pope. Of course, we had the papal election very quick, only two rounds of voting, and American Pope Robert Prevost was elected, or as he's now known, Leo, of course, because changing your name and wearing a dress is okay in this situation. Pope Leo is the first American Pope. He's from Chicago. Much has been made of that. People are calling him the Deep Dish Pope. Of course, my love of Chicago is the musical theatre show Chicago. I tried to think of a Chicago-based Pope Catholic joke. All I've got was "all that Jesuits." All that Jesuits. No, not quite right. But, you know, there's a bit of positivity there. At least it's not something horrible happening in the world. And we end every week with a bit of parking news. I get very enraged by parking fines, by unjust parking stories. But this week, maybe a bit of positive news, actually, as there's new rules coming in for parking. Lots of local authorities have taken on these parking enforcements that limit the length of a car that can park in a bay, which has affected BMWs, Audis and Teslas. A crushing blow for the worst dickheads you know. So there we go. That's the news this week. A mix. Not not all so happy, but I'm happy here in this studio because I've got a lovely friend with me, the wonderful Kate Checker. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
An absolute pleasure. we gigged together in Brighton a couple of months ago. You absolutely blew me away. And I think I texted you like the next day being like, please go on my radio
show.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was such a good gig.
It was really fun. You're on tour at the moment.
I'm on tour.
Yes. You had your first gig in Bristol.
Yeah.
Fun? Good?
Good, fun gig. Mum came. First time she's seen me do comedy. So that was very intense, but very good. She really liked it. She said very good things.
Yeah. Oh, very good. How long have you been doing comedy?
6 years.
6 years. Has she seen clips online or anything?
I think so. Yeah. I think she's heard bits of like radio stuff on radio and so on. And that's why I think she didn't want to come, because she was like, too many sex jokes.
Well, maybe she's listening now. Hello.
Hello, Judith.
Judith. Oh, that's a strong mum name.
Strong mum name,
that
Judith.
Is good.
Yeah.
Is she good at other sort of mum things, baking, all that sort of stuff?
She is. She's really good at baking cakes. Nice. She does a lot of gardening. She's very, she's quite like mum in lots of ways, but then in lots of other ways, very not. She's very, I was going to say selfish, and that's not very nice. She's very, you know, independent.
Yes, I respect that. I think that's good. A good way to be.
Yeah.
It's so funny how positive attributes can so quickly be turned into selfish. Yeah, I know what you mean. But you're going on tour. You've got A Messiah Comes.
Yes.
What a title.
Yes.
I've got the description here. Where does this Messiah complex come from? Is it the second coming, or has she just inherited her mother's psychological disorder? There we go, comes back to your mum again.
Yes.
You had your mum in the audience. What did she make of your assessments of her psychological disorder?
I think she was like fine with it. She knows I have a Messiah complex because she gave it to me.
Yeah,
it was her that did it. And it was funny because she brought like friends who were like people who've known me since I was like 6 years old, including my including my first boyfriend, who's also known me since I was 6 years old because we went to primary school together, and his wife. So it was like a lot of people that felt like family, and they were like, oh, your mum should have been sat on the stage in the corner on a stool, like knitting, because like that, she's always knitting somewhere, and it's like, because she's so much a part of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she was like, yeah, this is the problem.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting staging to have your mother knitting
in the corner.
Very avant-garde sort of
performance. Yeah, I'd quite like to do that, but I can't. And my mother's 78. I can't take my mother on tour. She'll be exhausted.
No. Yes, well, you're going all over the place. You're going to Cambridge, Brighton, Manchester, Maidenhead, Edinburgh, Exeter, Southampton, Leeds and Hastings. So look, there's lots of opportunities to go see Kate. She is fantastic. KateChecker.co.uk for all your tickets. Mm. Where are you? Is there anywhere you're like, oh, I don't, why have we put in Maidenhead, for example?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
That's very much the one. I was like, I didn't know where Maidenhead was. I don't want to insult Maidenhead or people from Maidenhead.
No, I understand.
But the way I felt like the conversation, I feel like I was not paying attention always to what my producer said, but he was like, it's right by Manchester.
And Manchester?
It's not. It's by Reading. And so I had like a half an hour argument with like a mate down the pub about how Maidenhead was near Manchester, and they were like, no, it's not. And I was like, no, that's why we're doing it, because it's so close to Manchester. And they were like, it's just not.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, it's just not.
It
like,
really isn't.
It's really not at all. Well,
I respect there's an analog approach to your conversation with friends there, that you were happy to argue for 30 minutes before pulling out the phone.
Yeah, it was really long. I was really insistent, and I don't know where I got it into my head that Maidenhead
was... Well, you're blaming the producer.
I'm blaming my producer.
Of course,
yeah. But he was like, we should do Maidenhead, and I don't know whether near Reading is my people, but maybe it is.
I would say I've seen a few shows at Northern Farm Arts Centre.
Yeah.
There's a good culture of comedy there.
That's what I've heard.
And I think it's the Surrey corridor that like comedy but don't like to go into London. So, I think it should be lovely.
It should be lovely.
And if you're in Maidenhead, go prove me right, please.
Come.
Go and support Kate.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely stuff. Now, this is a sort of newsy show.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't like to dwell too much on it because it's very depressing. How are you with the news? Do you follow it intently? Are you sort of pick and choose? What do you do?
I don't like look it up, but I think you can't avoid it, because I live with my friend's parents because they let me live there for free.
Dreamy.
And comedy does not pay very well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I can attest to that.
So I live there, and they get The Guardian every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get it by like osmosis of it just being there, of like headlines and stuff. And then I get it from Instagram. I'm really like the millennial generation
Instagram
thing, which I feel fine about. Everyone's like, we shouldn't do that. And I was like, I feel okay. It gives me the news I'm interested in.
Yeah. Also, Instagram, I found this having like research for the monologue and stuff. Yeah. Instagram's the only place where you can actually scroll back and see what the news has been, because the websites are so like, what's the news that day? And then obviously the physical papers are that day.
Yes, that's the thing, because if I go onto like the Guardian website, I'm like, I need the news of the week. It doesn't kind of give you that. It gives you the headlines of the day. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's very frustrating. Well, I basically my monologue topics are what's happened in the last 2 days. Yeah. That's the only things that are in the headline. So yes, I support Instagram for news, and I suppose there's worse papers that you could be picking up the world events by osmosis from.
For sure, sure. I mean, there's always worse sources.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to get into the show. We've got Facebook forums we're going to head into later. Yeah. We have Joseph. We'll do a bit of headlines quiz. But actually, I wanted to ask you... Well, actually, I've got loads of stuff I wanted to ask you about. You've led such an interesting life with such an amazing career. I don't know if I have a question about this. I just wanted to give you the credit for the amazing name. You were the first comedian artist in residence at Studio in the Woods in New Orleans in the winter of 2024. So just winter just gone.
Yeah.
You produced and hosted the Late Late Stage Capitalism Show. And I thought that was a brilliant name.
Yeah. It was a show about climate change. It had to be. It was like, you have to do some kind of art piece about climate change. And so I did like a talk show, an American style, like late night talk show.
Yeah.
So instead of like the late show, it was the Late Late Stage Capitalism
Show.
And all my guests were elements of the environment, and I was the host. And it was very, you know, it was good jokes. It was like I had a glacier, and I'd be like, "Wow, you've lost so much weight since I last saw you. Is it Ozempic?" Like, no, it's climate change, you know? Global warming. I'd be like, that was the vibe.
Yeah, that's great. Is it available anywhere? Is it online or anything?
Yeah, I actually have a video of it, and I don't think I've put it anywhere. And I keep meaning to, but I don't know sort of what to do with it.
Well, let this be your impetus. The people are calling for it.
They put it out into the world.
There are people out there in Maidenhead going, "Oh, I'm interested in Kate Checker's talk show. If only there was a late night American style talk show about the climate change I could watch to convince me.
To convince you to come."
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it needs like some kind of ceremony, like a screening. But what do you do with it?
You just have to do it. Everything's so... I know, it's a bit annoying that... So obviously comedy shifted towards social media and you've got to like make your own stuff. On the one hand, it's like, oh, great, there's no gatekeepers. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, at least I knew how to impress the gatekeepers. And now we're all a little bit in the wilderness and like, what do we do? How do we do this?
I mean, no gatekeepers, but also they are scraping all of our money off us.
Yes, that's weird, actually. That's a good point. There's no gates to keep. The industries are dying, but somehow they're taking our money from us.
Yeah, like now, like three men who own these websites are scraping literally all of our profit off us in what is one of the biggest grabs of, like, what's the word? You're like surplus profit, you know.
It's just like, it was capital, I suppose.
Surplus labor.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny. It's so weird to me how we all agreed to it. Everyone was like, of course I'm willing to put all my work and art online for free. And everyone's like, oh my God, socialism wouldn't work. And I was like, you literally give people an option. Everyone's like, let me show you how to make this recipe. I'd love to show people. And like, people are so keen to share stuff. And then like, they're going to make all the money off it. And we don't see any money from it. It's really wild.
Yeah, that is.
And we're really okay with it. And I find that insane.
I know. Obviously, I was aware of that being true, but it's only just clicked into my consciousness that that is what's fucking happening.
They're like scraping so much value off of us. It's insane. Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be surprised that I'm depressed by the news, because the world is just depressing.
That's really depressing. But if it helps, I do feel like this... Okay, this is going to sound... Okay, but I'm just going to say it. This round of fascism...
Nice, nice.
This one, it feels like it'll burn itself out quicker. In my feeling, I don't think it'll go as long as last time.
Yeah, it is moving
because
quite quickly.
It's going so fast.
Really sort of speedrunning the rise and fall of fascism.
Yeah, because it was like 1932, 33, they started hitting the trans people in Berlin, if you like read about like Germany. And then it was like they sterilized the black women around then. And then 1939 was when they came for the disabled people. And like, they're coming for the disabled people right now, but they're doing the trans people at the same time. So I'm like...
They're quite concurrent. They're efficient.
They're going at it. So it's been very efficient.
I will say this about 2025 fascism. Great at multitasking.
Yeah, really. Good it's for going. Them. So fingers crossed, it will be so obvious that the fight back against it will come quicker and we'll get through it quicker and it won't be as painful. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's a positive note.
That's what I say to sleep at night. I don't know.
Whatever gets you through the days. I don't blame you. We're going to head into a break now, but I wanted to pick up from something from your website. You hope through your comedy, through your art, to provide inspirational impetus for revolutionary acts.
Yeah.
Obviously, caught a little bit of there with sort of hoping that fascism burns out quicker this time around.
Yeah.
Is there a manifesto, a call to arms to send us into the break, a bit of positivity?
I mean, that's my show in the end, that I just believe, like, I mean, I do really believe that, like, if I can't dance, it's not my revolution. And I believe that joy and, like, being together and like doing what we want in a lot of ways is incredibly revolutionary. So I am always pushing for that.
There you go. Joy, self-determination, yeah. Keep fighting, keep doing what you want.
Yeah.
It almost seems the sort of powerful end of denouement of the entire show. I suppose it is the denouement of your whole show. But for now, it's just to see us into the break. We'll be back after this short interruption with some Facebook groups and more nonsense to keep us happy and entertained.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back. We've just been we've just been G-ing each other up over the break. Everything
yeah.
will be fine eventually.
Yeah.
I think I came into this week very depressed about everything, and Kate, you've spurred me on to keep going. That yeah. things will eventually
things are gonna be okay. Gonna be fine.
Yeah, I think you put it very nicely. Just 8 men need to die, and
yeah.
we'll probably be all right. Just 8 specific men.
Yeah.
This is not a call to arms in that respect. We're just saying eventually they will die. Some of them are very old. Right. Complete tonal shift now. Handbrake turn of tone. We are heading into some local Facebook forums now. Obviously, you know, you grew up in the West Country. That's prime sort of community watch Facebook groups sort
for sure,
of stuff.
For sure.
Did you? Are you ever a dweller? Were you?
No, but my mother's in one for yeah. Bradford on Avon, and I find it hilarious. I'll go and look through it because she's looking through it and laughing
yeah.
at these people. It's hilarious.
It's absolutely. Great. It's this an absolute the peak of self importance is these Facebook
yeah.
groups. I've moved about quite a lot. Salisbury, Bournemouth, London.
Yeah.
And I never leave the local Facebook forum because it's just so entertaining.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was loath to leave my building WhatsApp group because that was...
that was the one.
Yeah, that yeah. There was lots of stuff happening in there. But we start for now in Witham, which is in the north of England, sort of up towards Newcastle, Barnard Castle sort of way. This is from Barbara Winkle, an amazing name. Barbara Winkle says, "Some dirty youth farted through my letterbox again." Absolutely disgusting. Yes, if you thought we were going to continue our tone of revolution and political change, no, we're talking about dirty youths farting through the letterbox. How does this even happen? What is the mechanics of farting through a letterbox?
I think easy, no?
Yeah.
Just lift and then bend. Lift and bend?
Lift and bend, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
lift the letterbox.
Yes, yeah, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to lift your pants up. The opposite of what you need. Well, I suppose you could fart through clothes, yeah.
yeah, fart through clothes.
Fart through clothes, yeah.
I wasn't thinking clothes down.
I was thinking full mooning.
You were thinking mooning?
Hold to letterbox, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Because I'm just thinking, if you've got to get through pants and jeans, and then you've got to get through the little bristles of the letterbox, I think you won't have...
The bristles fluttering in the breeze.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know. You fart and people can smell it when you're wearing clothes. So
true.
I don't think you need... I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think you were professing on my farting power, don't you worry. So, yeah, poor Barbara Winkle. She's suffering greatly with farts through the letterbox. Our other guest, Joseph Parsons, has arrived, and he's in the studio watching on thinking, what the fuck have I walked into? Welcome, Joseph. This is... I don't know what group this is from, what locality, but it says, to the punk walking down... to football, who called my dog ugly, fuck you. So yeah, a lot going on here. Well, look, speak of the devil and he shall arrive. Hello, Joe. You've been snuck into the studio. Hello.
I have gone from such a warm environment to such a cool one. This is
yeah,
lovely.
This is very, we've turned on the air. It's very warm today.
Thank you so much. Lovely to see you.
Welcome. What are your first impressions of the show?
Well, I came in just as you were talking about farting through clothing, and I thought, this is the show for me.
Well, perfect. We're so glad you're here.
I feel this is the kind of brow. I'm never really highbrow.
This
but
is
I feel that this is mid-brow.
We've spaffed our highbrow very early on. We had a sort of very optimistic revolutionary talk. And now we're on fighting, and that's why we brought you in, of course.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
No, a pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
Have you met Kate before? Kate Jones, if
Hello,
Jesse, Kate.
Hello.
See you, Kate.
Nice
I feel
to
like
see
we may
too.
Have gigged together all week.
Yeah.
We've crossed paths.
Maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Such
this
is the way in comedy.
Comedy problem.
It's a comedy problem where you have to have an amazing memory.
Yeah.
Of which I'm not
Are you sharing comedy? Both from the West Country.
Yes.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm from Weston-super-Mare, do you know?
Wow. Yes, I do.
Oh, it's a place of dreams.
Is it?
If those dreams...
Wow, that's said so judgmentally.
How dare you? It is the place
of dreams. It's the place of dreams. I'm
sorry. As long as those dreams are to become a teacher or work for the council.
Oh, those are nice dreams, though.
Yeah. That's positive.
Or set things on fire.
That's more what I thought.
Interesting. It's a lot of arson in Western Sydney.
Do you remember the pier fire of a few years ago now. It feels like a few years. I reckon it's probably over a decade. But you know when it's like how time goes.
Yeah.
But it made the national news. My brother was in Australia at the time. It was on news
it's
there.
International news.
Yeah.
Here fire, Western Superman.
It was
and
a big,
you
big
are
deal.
At least a seaside town without a Reform MP. So you're doing something
yes,
right.
Yes, we went Labour for the first time ever.
There we go.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Though, if Western Superman are going Labour.
They've always been Lib Dem Conservative.
Of course.
Mainly
that's where,
Conservative.
That's the West Country. I'm saying always Lib Dem Conservative.
It's and
mainly Conservative.
I thought we might go Lib Dem with all of Davies' antics.
I did expect all of the West Country
Labour.
To go Lib Dem. Yeah, but yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
I really want to know what's made Western Supermare go Labour.
It won't be for long.
No.
It was an accident.
I think all those Labour votes are getting returned.
It certainly won't be going Conservative either. We worry where that's going. But,
yes. Yeah. Oh, well, we were talking about in the first half. Kate made the great point. Eventually, this fascism will burn itself out and we'll be okay.
Yes.
We're in the Facebook groups at the moment. That's why we were talking about farting. Mm. Were you ever in the Western Supermare local community chat?
Do you know, I wasn't. My community chat are my family on Facebook, and they keep me updated.
Yeah.
It's quite nice. I find Facebook has got one purpose, and that is to, as everyone does, Google old schoolmates.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be Googling. You'd be Facebook. You know what?
Searching them up.
Yeah.
Any particular highlights from your class?
No, but you know when you go down a rabbit hole and you're like, oh, they've got that many children now.
Yes, correct.
And then you load up Grindr and go, maybe I could become married and have children.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I thought you were going down the direction that they were married with kids when you load up Grindr and there they are again.
No, but that...
And they're DL. But you're thinking...
I have had messages in Western Supermare from maybe people I'm quite sure were married with kids.
Have you?
But yeah, you know, that's the joy of Grindr.
That's the beauty.
I don't think
tapestry.
You go to Grindr to start a family. That's an interesting prospect.
No, I didn't
yeah.
Look, it was the first app that came to mind. maybe I should be opening Hinge, but, you know, I have to... The radius is very much, I'll find someone in Cardiff if I'm in Western Supermare.
That, yes, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm in Portsmouth and you end up in the Isle of Wight often.
Oh,
and
it's like, see, they don't think about that in small locations, do they?
Yeah.
There should be like a weird barrier you can put up going, I don't want to go.
I will not go overseas.
overseas to get.
I don't want to go over a bridge to find
yes,
the one.
An anti ferry filter on dating. That's a call to arms. There you go. Another one for the show. If you run a dating app, please add in an anti ferry filter. Right, so we're in the Facebook forums. This poor guy, a punk walking out. I don't know whether this is literally a punk, sort of like punk rocker, leather jacket, hair spiked up, or a punk in the sort of like an 80-year-old. Old man being like, hey, you punk. But this guy walked down the street and called his dog ugly. Do you think that's ever acceptable?
I mean, I am the wrong person to ask this question because I am not a huge dog fan, which normally is what I would describe as a blanket of red flags to most people.
Wow. Yeah.
This is why you haven't settled down and started a family, Joseph. You're a handsome, lovely young man. This is the only reason it must be.
An immensely generous response. Now, I would say I would say dogs broadly, there are some ugly ones.
Yeah,
there are some ugly. I'm a big cat person. I've got a kitten, but because I'm single and 34, but that's what you have to do when you get to that. You're like, quick, get a kitten, then it's fine. and broadly, it is. But generally speaking, I would say there are more ugly dogs than ugly cats, but there are ugly cats. Do you know what I mean? But I think we all know the ones that look like they've run into a wall. Those kind of dogs. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't think you should say that to someone, though.
No, that is a bit much.
A parent that their child is ugly. I think you're kind of crossing a line there.
Yeah. Do you think it's appropriate to then post it on a Facebook group if someone this has happened to you?
To call
it
out?
No. You know, just live your life.
It is boring.
Just get on with your life.
Crack on. You know what I mean? It's like, that is a lovely thing. We've learnt about the person. I'm not sure if it was a punk rocker, and I think it's just an elderly man going.
Actually says waking down to football.
Yes, he wasn't walking down to football, he was waking down to football.
So I guess he's wearing a football jersey, that's how they
do. We don't know whether it could be an N.
Also, if it
could
is...
be wanking down to football, then,
that
would be a crime. And that might be, he might not have said dog that's ugly.
That is...
hog was maybe...
Yes.
You know, there's
Okay, so you think there was a punk wanking on the roadside. Someone walked past and he was like,
that's an ugly hog.
If you're going to wank in public, at least have a pretty penis.
Yeah.
I see,
yes,
right.
Exactly.
Don't get in the way of my wanking.
Exactly.
Was he calling the person ugly?
Don't interrupt my wank.
My roadside wank.
That would be on my manifesto.
Don't interrupt my wank. I think I've seen those adverts really, on TFL. Yeah,
I've taken this whole "you can say things uncensored" vibe and run with it.
I love it.
I was quite nervous about like the
you literally
the
messaged me being like,
wank.
"I hope I don't say fuck," and here you are talking
here
about
I am,
wanking
ruining
in public.
Your lovely show.
Not just talking about public wanking in public, but like advocating for wanking in public.
Come on,
you're not allowed to do that. I think are you?
No, really not.
Really,
the lines are blurred.
They're quite strict.
No wanking in public.
Let's all not wank in public.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Okay. We're getting into the weeds of wanking legislation here. Who knows where we'll go on that front? But let's head to another Facebook post. I don't know if you can see this properly. It is spotted in Morrison's. So this is a car park of Morrison's. It is a car covered in lube, massage oil, condoms, a vibrator called the Morgasm, and another vibrator which is pink and unboxed. And there's a sign in the window that says I've got to get closer to the screen here. Ridiculous gift that a man who cheats gives to his girlfriend. Never play with intelligent women. Just returning the wonderful gift, Dave. So this man has been publicly shamed for cheating and giving his girlfriend these gifts. I can't quite tell from the letter whether he's given his mistress the gifts or he's given his girlfriend the gifts. But either way, what an act of revenge.
Was the car part of this gift?
I don't... Okay, so hold on. So Dave has given his girlfriend loads of vibrators and then cheated on her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I think that's quite nice. Is that just me that thinks that's quite nice?
Oh, you think it's sort of like thoughtful that he's like, well, I'm going to cheat on you, so here's a vibrator.
I'm busy cheating on you tomorrow, but...
you can sort yourself out.
Here's two vibrators.
Here's two things I'll never be able to live up to.
Interestingly, though.
He's actually softening the blow, I would say.
Or hardening the blow. You know.
My only comment would be, is he given two vibrators of the exact same type, just different colours?
Yes.
Whereas I would say mix it up, maybe. If you're going to gift.
They're both the ones with the clit tickler.
Clit tickler? Is that the official name?
He could have done a lot more with the lube there. If it's his car, could have gone quite
a tad. Lube, the window.
You could have written a message in lube. Yeah. That would have been a real pain in the ass.
That really is hard to get off. So there you go.
Or in the upholstery.
That
would have been even worse. Yeah. Oil-based lubricant.
I think this person's never done revenge before.
No, I just
do you know what I mean?
God bless them. Yeah, they're trying.
Tips.
Because that's really easy to clean off.
Yes.
He's just going to pick up. He's going to be like, great, okay, got my vibrators back.
Got all of this stuff
back. That's a good point.
One's in a box.
If he's got the receipt.
All the lube's in its packet.
Condoms reusable.
Do you know what I mean? You want to be doing something that implies, like, you want to be spreading lube all over the car, in the car, so that his mistress also thinks he's cheating or whatever.
With all the names of the people that... cheated.
That's good. A little bit of a roll call.
I'm disappointed by the effort in this revenge.
It's quite a sort of
basic
first thought. Basic revenge. If you have any sort of sexual revenge that you need, a cheating partner, reach out to us. We can brainstorm the best thing for you to do.
What a career change for all of us.
Well, we were saying earlier, comedy doesn't pay that well. You know, you've got to do what you can. I've stuck this in here to get your thoughts on this because I always get this wrong. I'm sick of the fist bump when greeting people. If you can't or won't shake my hand, I almost don't want you to fist bump me. I'm old-fashioned, sorry. Don't try and tell me it's safer due to germs. What do you think? Germs don't live on knuckles. Now, I think scientifically that's not necessarily proven, but what do you think of the fist bump handshake shift that has happened post-COVID?
I don't think I'm cool enough to do it, but do it anyway. Not like as a point that this is my greeting, but if someone comes out with the knuckles, I meet them with the knuckles.
I love the knuckles, actually, yeah. I think.
And often it's a cooler person than me, and I think, oh, I'm getting up to their level. Do you know what I mean? I've met them in the middle. How exciting. How exciting for my
they
fist.
They knew I was cool enough for this. Yeah.
Whereas, like, actually, sometimes a handshake catches you out now.
Handshake really catches me out now.
There's a lot more risk, isn't there? You haven't got any squeezing or any issue with, is this a weak handshake? It's just a boop,
I used to be fine, but actually, I don't think I want to squeeze someone's palm.
No.
really. Actually, I just don't like their sweaty
palm.
Oh,
I love it. My absolute favourite part of the meeting. Watch your handshake.
I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to shake hands when you walked
in.
No,
this is absolutely fine. I feel like it's a bit chip and pin, isn't it? That's what it's
I
like.
Wave
it's like it's
contactless. We're now contactless. Yeah, you wave at them.
Yes.
From this far away.
Wave at people, and I've always waved, I think.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire contestant.
Hi, nice to meet you. I do that. Or I hug people, which, if anything, is too much.
We're from West Country. It's our first greeting.
It was a hug.
Yeah. Then fist bump.
And then wave. Yeah.
I just want a universal blanket choice, and I'm happy to back the fist bump. I think fist bump, yeah, it's cool. I also like the wave, but the when it comes to like reaching your hand out, getting it wrong or shifting mid, like sort of reach out, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I've just washed my hands and not dried them or whatever, and I feel bad.
Yeah, you have to apologise for your hands being
wet. I'm sorry,
wet.
My hands are wet. I don't always dry them.
Knuckles,
I'm a busy woman.
Don't matter with the knuckles. It's just a very quick tap, isn't it?
How do you feel about, like, I was just in France, not to brag or anything. But, I was there, and the kissing. How do you hate that?
That. Three kisses in the Netherlands, I think, and that caught me out.
It's one in Belgium. And two in France.
I think if you're on mainland Europe, that needs to be standardised across the Schengen zone, please.
Tongues for everyone.
Yeah, tongue everyone.
just one universal French kiss.
But, yeah.
In the UK, I think it's unacceptable.
Unacceptable. You don't like it even in a relationship.
I'm a strictly no contact
person
in my.
Yeah.
But I think also it's so often like a class thing where like the upper class is love and mwah mwah.
Yeah.
Made in Chelsea vibes.
Yeah. It was a great Harry and Paul sketch with the I Saw You Coming shop, and he always goes, oh, yes, lovely. And then they just continue their chat in between.
Just doing the mwah mwah.
Yeah.
The thing I always do is sometimes people give a hug and then they do the kiss. But they actually physically kiss, and I feel like, oh, I meant to reciprocate this. So all I do is just go in their ear. I don't actually kiss them. I just make the sounds.
Yeah. You just go mwah.
I'm just sort of doing a Foley performance of what a kiss should be.
Maybe the problem is that a fist bump isn't awkward enough. Maybe if you held it in for longer. That's because obviously there's loads of awkwardness in handshakes and the kiss.
Don't you find sometimes you get off stage and people go to fist bump you, and I misread it? I've done that.
That's mine.
I've definitely like done like weird things where I've like gone to like pat someone, well done, that was a great set, and things have gone wrong.
Stroke them on the face. Yeah. Well done.
Hilarious.
I loved it.
Yeah. When I'm emceeing, I always ask handshake, fist bump, nothing, so that people have the choice, and I know.
Yeah.
And older male comedians react like I've asked them their pronouns. They're like, handshake, obviously. Him, obviously.
Oh, well, like coming on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes I've gone for a handshake and the person's gone to hug me, and then you've got to hug on stage, which is...
That's awkward, yeah.
Takes too much time.
I am terrible for the hug on stage.
Yeah, because then people are clapping, the audience are clapping, stop clapping, and you're just hugging someone on stage. That's not...
Yeah.
I've not finessed the formula of greeting and getting on
stage. The MC. And sometimes the MC runs off in the opposite direction and it's nothing.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Which actually you prefer, yeah.
It's tricky. It is tricky. And particularly when you're introducing someone who is higher status in the world of comedy than you, and you really like, you're like, make sure they come in properly. Like when you when like the celebs scuzz around in the gigs that you do, you know, and they're just like they lower their level, and then you're emceeing a gig with a bigger boy, but a girl. I mean, boy in a gender neutral sense.
I thought you meant metaphorically bigger boy. Yeah.
Like a giant.
Like a big boy.
When you're gigging with Greg Davis. Yeah.
But then you feel like, oh, God, I don't want to get that bit wrong. And you get in your head. Because you don't want to fist bump a handshaker.
I don't think this has happened to me yet.
I've done it where I've waved at someone.
Wave as you're getting off stage. Like,
bye, good luck. Bye. I did not whip them up very well. Putney's a tricky crowd.
I
also hate emceeing, but yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I think this will be our universal. We decided amongst ourselves, we've had a bit of a think tank, the wave. Just wave in people's face.
Just
no handshake,
wave.
No fist bump, no hug, no kiss.
No touching. Wave, no wave.
The big boys are going to be blindsided.
Yeah.
I think that's
shaking things up.
That's going to be good from a neurodiverse way as well. There's no contact. You sort of... it's quite straightforward.
Yeah. I think it's a thoughtful way of doing it.
Yeah, let's be pro-wave.
Okay. We are pro-wave here on FUBAR Radio. Yeah. We're heading into the break. We will wave you goodbye. We'll end quickly on this Facebook post to see you off into our adverts. I have three bin bags full of kids. Are these any good to anyone before I take them to the charity shop? Please proofread your posts before you post them on Facebook. We'll see you soon.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. I hope you had a nice break away from us, but now we have returned. We've got Joseph Parsons in the studio. You came and join us mid fart chat.
Yes, I did.
We were so in the weeds of fart chat, I didn't actually get a chance to promote yourself, your shows, your whatever, social media. That's the word I was looking for. At Joseph Parsons Comedy on Instagram, you have a tour date for Redesigned at the Leeds Hyde Park Book Club on the 5th of September.
Yes.
Get your tickets to that.
Please do.
This caught my eye. It's called Redesigned. You mix comedy and graphic design.
Yes, it's in a bid to try and mix my two worlds together in a really pleasing way. I created a show. It's sort of like a really poor metaphor on the fact that I tried to reinvent myself for a year and essentially try and redesign the way I looked, all of that stuff. All of the good stuff and all of the bad stuff. And I started writing that show and I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I just treated this as like a rebrand and then put that through the show? So it's got sort of design and comedy weaved together in a big branding exercise. It's not as dry as it sounds, but it
sounds really fun. And also, as well as being a good comedian, you are a very good graphic designer.
Well, that's the hope.
I go to josephparsons.co.uk. Check out this website. It's good. You've got a good website as well, too, Kate.
Thank you. I made it myself.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
That's very good. KateChecker.co.uk for that. Check out these.
Battle of the websites. See who's better.
You're a graphic designer. Yeah. I made mine with like WordPress, like Googling everything. Like, how do you do
this on
WordPress?
That's still really impressive.
WordPress is hard to navigate as well. It's not like plug and play, like Weebly or whatever.
It takes getting into the weeds with WordPress. But yes, I've been a designer for 13 years.
What do you make of our logo?
It's really cool. It's really cool. It's got a newsy vibe, which is what you want.
Yes.
And it's fun.
This is broadly really newsy. We stray more and more from the news every week as it becomes more and more depressing, but it is sort of newsy. Are you a newsy person?
I love the news. I'm a proper news addict. Like, I listen to the news agents and
racist
politics and any politicsy newsy stuff. In a way that it probably really inhibits my health.
Yeah, 90% of people come on the show and say I actively avoid the news.
It makes me
unhappy.
I love it. It's entertaining. It's my reality TV. I'm not very good at pop culture, but I really treat politics like it's pop culture, so I'd like to think it's not affecting me, but I want
to talk to you about news as if we're like just on like an E red carpet or like TMZ or something.
Have you seen what Trump is wearing?
Joseph, do you think the ceasefire will hold in the Kashmir? What do you reckon?
Yeah. Maybe not.
Crazy. So you're perfectly placed for this show then.
I love news. I love a bit of news. Big fan.
Great. Best news story in last week?
Best news story. I've been a bit in the weeds of Bristol City Gate recently.
Yes.
Or Ashton Gate, because I'm a big football fan. Mm-hmm. And my team is Bristol City. And I've had a real roller coaster of a week this week. Got into the playoffs. Way! Got a red card in the first leg. And then we lost 3-0 in the first leg, which meant the second leg was all but over, and then we lost that last night. So I'm feeling the
largest
great.
Ever aggregate loss in the championship playoff history. That's all right, you're welcome.
It was an 8-hour round trip to Ashton Gate to watch the
first. That's heartbreaking. I feel for you.
Got back at 2 a.m. in the morning, just like, well, we go again.
Are you a sportsy person, Kate? Do you follow a team? No, look at my face.
I'm like, what is this?
Well, we'll finish. That was sports.
But how? But you feel sad. That's what I worry about people that like sports.
Yeah.
Like abstract things happen related to like a group of people and you feel sad.
Well, it's either feel sad about that or feel sad about almost everything else that's happening in the world.
True.
I like to focus it on something mundane.
Yeah, I guess this is easier to relate.
Yes.
It doesn't feel so helpless.
Yeah. No. Also, it does reset every year. So no matter how like sad you get about football, you know that September it all starts again. Or August starts.
It's relentless. Every year it comes back.
I think that's what people think who don't like sport. They're like, it's relentless.
Sport
very much just is my whole life, and I love
it's
it.
It's all your whole life.
I prefer it to almost anything in the world. including family.
You got a podcast, Big Sport Pod. So you love all sports. Yeah. You're across all the...
I would say that is a podcast that came out briefly, became a lot of work, and hasn't really resurfaced for a while. But fair. I have got another one with
But you do, yes. Parsons and MZ Do Talking, yes. Another podcast recommendation. But while we're in the world of sports, like I like football, but I'm not across loads of other sports. Okay, you say you're not a very sporty person.
You're one of the best goalkeepers that come down to seven aside. No one gets in the way of shots like
this.
Honestly,
thank
Andrew,
you.
You're really good at football and it's great.
That's very funny.
And it's also nice because it's another gay that comes.
Yes, yeah.
What, is it a comedian's football?
It's comedian's football,
yeah. I've heard about comedian's football. I would never.
It's really fun. It's really fun. I'm very positive about it because I think it's
yeah. Great, but, people seem to really like it.
I like it.
Yeah. It is nice when there's at least two or three gays there. It changes the vibe and energy a little bit. It's
yeah.
We sing I'm Coming Out as we run. Yeah.
That's good.
Sorry, I was so blindsided and sort of floored by the compliment. Thank you so much. I was going to ask you, what's your summer recommendation for sport? Football's obviously sort of dwindling away now, but what should we look out for this summer?
It's time to get into motorsport, and I'm a big motorsport fan.
Kate, eye rolling. No, not having it.
I've never seen someone almost fall off a chair from an eye roll before. That was like it was a visceral.
That wards. I mean,
if you hate the environment, now's the time to get into motorsport.
What do you mean? Like go down Silverstone?
Yes.
And watch people drive cars.
Well, this is what I'm going to recommend.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I can't. Okay, so carry on.
We're all big on the F1 vibe. That's fine. Everyone loves F1. Great. I love that. Loved it since I was young. British Touring Cars is one of the best days out you can do. It's £30. You get a load of motor racing from start to finish, and it's entertaining. It's really close. It's a sport I've been watching since I was very, very young, and it's really good at the moment. And it's a lot of new faces coming through and challenging the top guards.
Is this
really exciting.
When people race
in sort of like
classic
everyday cars? Like, you know,
like Nissan Micras.
Yeah, like. Well, not quite that.
I'd love to see a Nissan Micra racing league.
I watched a Nissan Micra race.
It's sort of like Vauxhall Corsas and stuff, but they are souped up, so they're fast. But
they're British cars. British-made cars?
No, they're a mix. But it's just great. It really is. I really recommend
it. This sounds like hell on earth for me.
I didn't think I was going to talk about this today, but that's my summer sport, because there isn't much summer sport going on.
Yeah, the motorsports. There we go. Okay. Interesting. Whether you have a Kate-like reaction or maybe you're a bit more piqued curiosity.
I'd be like, swim in a river. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good
my vibe.
Yeah, that's also fine. Do that.
That's also fine.
Swimming.
Do swimming.
Outdoor swimming.
Do swimming.
Let us know. We'll have the debate. Why not? We'll put a poll on Instagram, maybe. Would you rather go swimming or go watch the racing? We'll see who wins this sporting clash.
Good value day out with the family.
Good value day out with the family.
I don't work for British Touring Cars.
Feels like you're getting kickbacks from them, to be honest.
If you don't like the sport, you can see some of the worst dressed people alive.
Oh, there you go. That'd be fun. A bit of fashion show at the British Touring.
That's so sassy of me. But
no,
about the people that are paying it's you all, to mention it all the time.
It's all like, it's the racing garb. Like, racing outfits are the most ugly things in the world because they're just covered in sponsors. You're like a head-to-head. Apart from that, great sport. Love it.
That's fun you come in with your graphic designer eye to see you. Also, I love how quickly you're backed into a corner. You're like, I will sell these people down the river. They are ugly dressed.
Hey, you've got to show both sides.
Yeah. Yes, well, we don't on this show. We don't have to be balanced at all. We can say whatever we like.
Oh, brilliant.
But we're going to head into the news. Oh, you're obviously a very newsy person. That's great. But these are maybe headlines you might have missed. These are sort of the bottom, the page 57 of the Metro, stuff that might not caught your eye. See if you can fill in the blanks of these headlines. Woman sues after being compared to blank at work and wins £30,000. So, a woman had an employment tribunal. She won £30,000 on the basis of being compared to who or what?
I feel like I've seen this headline.
Yeah. She was compared to what or who at work.
It's quite a tricky one, that. It's made me realise I'll never be on Have I Got News For You, because I have not got a quick response to this.
It was like something like, it was some kind of tyrant. It's some kind of monster.
Yeah, very tyrannical.
But I don't...
Hitler?
No.
We're
not going that tyrannical.
I think she would have won a bit more money if it was Hitler. More fictional.
It was a fictional tyrant, Voldemort or...
like a space Hitler.
Darth Vader.
There we go. Come on. Bosh.
Space Hitler.
Space Hitler. Yeah, Darth Vader. Space Hitler.
Yeah.
well, I will say, of the £30,000, actually £17,000 was for a different element within her case, and then £13,000 were for emotional damages after her colleagues took a personality test that compared her to Darth Vader. So they did like a BuzzFeed style "What are you?" She got Darth Vader, and she won the employment tribunal.
Yeah,
yeah. Which I always advocate, by the way. You have so many more employment rights than we ever realise or ever think. Always just go for the
talk to somebody. 30k in London will get you what? I mean, if you live like me at your friend's parents' house, then like 3 years. But like, if most people, that's going to get them like a year. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to need another job, and no one's going to employ you once they find out you're like Darth Vader. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. You're tied to that forever.
Like, yeah, you get 30k, but like, really, how long is that going to last before you need another job?
If your employer just going, do I get the tribunal?
But then, how many of these tribunals make the news? Obviously, this is a ridiculous one, or like it's a silly one that people can get angry about. But like most of your employment tribunals, you're just going to win the money, and no one's ever going to be.
You won't report on it.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
I just think that you. A lot of people have been unfairly dismissed from work or have like sort of constructive dismissal and don't sue for the money. And I think there's millions of pounds.
People should sue more for the money. That is true.
My friend won a tidy sum from the Navy.
What
unfair
for?
Dismissal?
The Navy training deafened him. And then they obviously couldn't work with no hearing in his right ear. But it was done under bad practice from the Navy. So he sued them and got... Money,
yes. An undisclosed, tidy sum.
I hope a lot, because deafening is like a big deal.
It certainly wasn't his fault, and it certainly wasn't a thing that was done under good due process. Not saying that the Navy don't do good due process. They're probably great at that.
Oh, yes, but I fully trust all our institutions, the military, the police, they're all doing an outstanding job.
I think you could say the Navy
is bad. Everyone's good. Everyone's good, and everything is
fine. That's the opposite energy.
I love the halls of power. I don't think fascism will burn out quickly, and I for one, I've got a ton. If you've got a boot, bring it on over.
That's kinky.
Okay, so Navy bad, and they won good money. Yes. Very happy for them.
I'm happy for them.
Moral of the story, sue your workplace, right? Sue your friends, do whatever you can.
And they now live next door to my mum and dad.
That's fun. There you go, in Western Superman.
They bought the house next door.
Yeah.
That's well, there you
go. I don't know if it's with the winnings. Who knows? Winnings?
There you go. Search up the average house value in Western Supermare, and you can work out how much money they got.
They stayed in Western Supermare. Sorry, God, stop being so judgmental.
No, that's a good point, actually. If you have a large sum of money in which you can sort of restart your life, I wouldn't pick Western.
But I wouldn't move to Bradford-on-Avon, which is where I'm from either.
God, everyone in London is so judgmental of other places, aren't they?
Of course they are.
I like Western Supermare. It's fine. If you want a sort of quiet, to life,
I don't,
and no real career prospects. It's a wonderful place to live.
It's too quiet. It's the sort of place where old ladies go into post offices to like ask hypothetical questions, like how much would it be if I sent this to Australia? Are you sending it to Australia? No, I just want to know.
I feel so defensive sort of about Western Supermare.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
Where's this go out to? Does this go to the whole nation?
Yeah, it's online, so the whole world.
So people could be listening
from Western Supermare.
Going, oh. Yeah. What a prick,
no one should be... Whoa, that's not our responsibility as those people's feelings. Who identifies themselves so strongly with this location they live in?
Mm-hmm. Me!
If you said to me, like, London sucks, I'd be like, you're correct, London sucks.
But I love Western Supermare because so much that I moved immediately as soon as I could. But I love it from a distance.
Where do you live now?
I live in Crystal Palace. Yeah.
Come in here trying to defend Western Supermare when you live in Crystal Palace.
It's lovely.
I will give it an opportunity for some middle ground here, because the town we most regularly hate on this station, Milton Keynes.
Well, that's just a complete boring.
There we go. Thank
I did
you.
Milton Keynes Pride. And I did Milton Keynes Ride, which was a very specific experience. And the food options at Milton Keynes Pride was fries, gluten-free, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. And fries with chips on.
Fries with chips on, sorry?
No, fries with cheese on.
Oh, I see.
And it was like, that was it.
That's pretty bad.
Nothing says proud of my sexuality like cheese on chips.
Cheese on chips, yeah.
I wonder what they did with the roundabouts.
Well, the thing is...
What, for the Pride?
Yeah. Is it roundabouts or is that Swindon?
But, you know, it's roundabouts, but it's all the grid system.
It's grids, isn't it? It's
so
like
the Pride Parade is very, like, it's going to be square. It's going to be right angles.
No, there was no parade. It was kept to a park.
What?
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like Pride at all. That sounds like they're rounding them up.
Yeah, it does a little bit. They were nice people,
It sounds like a park run.
I flew in from... Okay, this sounds insane, but I flew in actually from Berlin.
To go to...
Yeah, I flew into Birmingham Airport to do Milton Keynes Pride.
Well, there you go. That
you,
is
you came from the Milton Keynes of Germany.
Berlin is not the Milton Keynes of Germany.
Yeah, let's stop the Berlin slander.
I'm being humorous.
We'll end on a positive note. We hate Milton Keynes.
We hate Milton.
Look, thank you so much for joining me. Kate, at Kate Checker on Instagram, go see her tour. A Messiah Comes, coming to a town near you, not Milton Keynes. Joseph Parsons Comedy on Instagram. Your YouTube special, Equalizer, available now. You've got a tour date in Leeds still to come. Thank you to Kieran and Yasmin in the production booth. I'm Andrew White, at Stand Up Andrew, for all your Instagram needs. You can follow this show as a podcast, subscribe, rate, all that sort of stuff. See you next week.
Foo Bar Radio.